From the KTUL Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. This week marks 6 months since 42-year-old Juneau resident Benjamin Stepitin was last seen in downtown Juneau. His brother, Martin Stepitin Sr., says his family and friends haven't stopped looking for him even during the holidays.
We just don't want his memory to fade, you know, or anybody to think that we're giving up searching for him at all, because we're not. We're still doing everything we can to still try to find what happened to my brother.
Police listed Benjamin as a missing person after he was last seen in Juneau on June 22nd in the downtown area. Benjamin is Alaska Native, about 5 feet 6 inches tall, and has brown eyes. Before he went missing, he often frequented the downtown area and had been homeless for roughly 2 years. Following his disappearance, his family raised over $25,000 to fund a robust search effort and paid for divers to search the Gatineau Channel in September. Martin believes his brother may have fallen or been pushed into the water. And though Martin says the divers didn't find any signs of Benjamin then, the family is working with the Juneau Police Department in hopes of getting divers into the water for another search soon. Juneau Deputy Chief Craig Campbell says detectives are so actively investigating the case and encourage anyone with information about Benjamin's disappearance to contact the department. Campbell says the department believes there may have been people involved in Benjamin's disappearance who aren't coming forward.
It is looked being investigated at more than just a missing persons case, but also a missing persons case with a criminal aspect into it.
People can share information by calling JPD's dispatch line at 907-586-0600 or submitting an anonymous tip through Juneau Crime Line. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, found that the Juneau School District did not provide occupational therapy services to some students that were supposed to receive them last school year. According to a report from the department, the district lost an occupational therapist last year and did not follow the correct procedure to ensure students would continue to receive services. Some students with an individualized education program, or IEP, require a certain amount of occupational therapy during the school year. Don Enoch is DEED's special education administrator. He says that when a school loses staff to provide a specific special education service, a replacement should be found as quickly as possible, and a compensatory education plan must be offered to students in the meantime.
The IEP guarantees the parents will receive those services for their students, and when that's not done, the district's obligated to make that right.
The report states that the district must offer services to make up for lost time. It also has to send a spreadsheet to DEED that lists which students qualify for services and whether families decided to go through with the services. The initial complaint was filed in June, and DEED issued the final report in November. In an email to KTOO, Juneau School District Student Services Director Jason DeCamillis said the district worked to resolve the issue before November. He said fewer than 30 students were affected. Before the report was completed, DeCamillis says the district hired new staff, provided makeup services, or created a plan to provide services in the current school year. In the email, he said, quote, "We do take these gaps very seriously and proactively address known issues as soon as possible with as much communication as possible," end quote. Enoch says many parents don't realize the state is a resource to help students with IEPs. In addition to investigating complaints, DEED can also hold due process hearings and mediate meetings between parents and the school district about IEPs. He says DEED can also help explain an IEP to parents. He wants more parents to reach out to DEED if they are having issues.
We don't get very many calls from parents at all, and it's kind of concerning sometimes because we hear things that are going on out in the communities and we have to go out and investigate. But one phone call from a parent could help clue us into problems that a district is having.
The district has until the end of next year to complete all compensatory services as outlined by DEED. And the next legislative session is less than a month away, and lawmakers are preparing to return to Juneau. Low oil prices are likely to strain the state's budget, and top budgeters in the legislature say Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal for a $3,600 permanent fund dividend is unrealistic. Meanwhile, the developer of the Alaska LNG project is nearing a decision on whether to go ahead with the long-sought gas pipeline from the North Slope. And Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says lawmakers may need to update the state's oil and gas tax structure to prepare. Under current law, he says he's concerned that oil and gas companies could invest in building the pipeline, then deduct the expenses from their taxes.
We're seeing the impacts of that with the Willow Project and how ConocoPhillips is spending $1 billion, $1.5 billion, and then writing off hundreds of millions of dollars off of their production taxes. The same situation exists with the natural gas pipeline.
Lawmakers will also have the opportunity to invest in as much as a quarter of the project. Wilkowski says that's an option worth looking at carefully. Legislators say they're also awaiting Governor Dunleavy's proposal to stabilize the state's finances. Dunleavy says he plans to unveil a long-term fiscal plan next month. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe says he'd like to see lawmakers revisit some of the ideas put out by a legislative task force in 2021.
We definitely need a better, stronger spending cap on the legislature. We need to find ways to generate new revenues. My personal idea is that we need to encourage resource development to generate those revenues.
Some members of the Democrat-heavy House and Senate majorities say they'd also like to see the legislature peg school funding to inflation. But leaders say they don't expect education to dominate the coming session after lawmakers boosted school funding this past year. Lawmakers returned to the Capitol in Juneau on January 20th. And as 2025 comes to a close, the reporters at KTOO are taking a moment to reflect on the year in stories. In this special feature, we're highlighting some of our colleagues' favorite pieces throughout the year and sharing what made these stories stand out.
I'm KTOO reporter Alex Solomon. I think Yvonne Crumry wrote one of our most important stories this year, about a refugee family in Juneau split in half by an email from the Trump administration. In 2025, tens of thousands of immigrants across the U.S. received the same email, saying they had to leave the country or face prosecution. Yvonne lays bare how threats from the federal government, even if they're not legally enforceable, can tear families apart. Mass deportations that have taken place in cities like Chicago and L.A. haven't materialized in Juneau. But still, many refugees and immigrants, including those who are here legally, no longer feel safe in our community. Let's hear the story.
14 members of Carlu's family moved to Juneau after fleeing unrest in Haiti.
My country is not doing well right now.
She has protected status in the United States, but is using an old family nickname in this story because that protection ends in August. She says her family was heartbroken when some of them got the emails that instructed them to leave immediately. Carlu has a sister who already lives in Canada, so members of the family went quickly to join her, including her sister and daughter.
They just left because they can't stay. They are scared, and we are separated again.
They arrived in Juneau just last year, so their immigration status is not as secure as other members of the family. Carlu works as a paraeducator and has been in Juneau for more than a decade. She and her family members have built lives here. The same email has gone out to tens of thousands of people who legally entered the U.S. through a mobile app, CBB1. During the Biden administration, this app was how immigrants were able to make appointments with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to seek asylum at legal points of entry instead of crossing the border illegally. President Donald Trump has pledged to not only end some of these temporary statuses, but revoke them before they expire. Margaret Stock is an immigration attorney in Anchorage. She said she's seen the email, and she doesn't think it's legally enforceable.
The messages do not appear to actually have any legal force of law, and they don't, you know, there's no such thing as an email message ordering you to leave the country that's legally effective. You have to have like a deportation order from a judge.
Stock says it's not even clear if the people who received the email are actually on immigration enforcement's radar. The emails weren't addressed to any names. She thinks it was meant to scare people into leaving, which aligns with the Trump administration's goal to remove immigrants from the United States. But she says the forcing immigrants to leave Alaska is especially damaging to the state's economy. Like Carlu, many work in fields that are understaffed.
We have huge shortages in the healthcare industry and teaching profession and assisted living facilities, service workers, the tourism industry, you know. There's like actually no sector of the economy right now, I think, that has enough workers in Alaska that I can think of.
Carlu's son helped her apply for permanent residency, but she said it was rejected because of a missed signature on one of the forms. She plans to try again. Temporary status has usually been extended for immigrants from countries where instability remains a risk to its citizens' health and safety. But Trump has vowed to end that status for Haitians, even though the dangers there haven't gone away. As of right now, she would have to leave in August. Organized crime runs Haiti, and according to Human Rights Watch, it's only getting worse. So Carlu says she can't go back.
And Haiti, I will be mother. I will be mothering if I go there. They will kill me. And this government is still the same. Nothing changed. Nothing. It could be a suicide if I go in Haiti.
Carlu says she likes Juno, but it's hard to see her family leave.
We was 14, and now we are 7 left.
She said she misses her daughter, but she doesn't want to leave her job as a paraeducator and the responsibility of care for her aging parents. In Juno, I'm Yvonne Krumrey.
That was a look back at a story KTOO reporter Yvonne Krumrey did back in May 2025, as highlighted by reporter Alex Solomon. Tune in tomorrow to hear another newsroom favorite from this year. Is there a KTOO story from 2025 that stuck with you? Email us at news@ktoo.org to let us know. And in Juneau, it's currently 14 degrees with a few clouds at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, there's a low of 6 degrees expected with clear skies. And there's also an extreme cold warning in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow. Expect extremely cold wind chill temperatures as low as 20 below in the city and borough of Juneau. And that'll last until 7 p.m. tomorrow. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in. For more news, head to ktoo.org.